you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you're thinking about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now. Now time for a very hi-fi edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply turn the volume down and pass on by. I'm Corey. I'm joined by the Beats headphone man himself, Basher.
I don't wear Beats. You're out of control. I got my Sony XHIM 100,015 28s, whatever they call these stupid things.
How is it in 2023 we can't come up with sensible models? Like,
they're very popular too, but I just don't understand why I don't know the name of them, because they're just random numbers and letters.
I mean, like, it probably doesn't make a difference. If you're spending $400 to $500 on headphones, you're probably going to Google it first anyway. However, I can't be like, hey, go get the Sony X Quantums, you know, like. Those, you want the Sony X Quantums. You can't say that. Sony does make some good headphones, though. I will give
them
that.
They do. I'm a big fan.
I will give them that. I'm not a Beats headphone guy. They're fine. They're totally fine. Does Apple still own them? Is that a thing? Did I make that up?
He sold it. He, being Dr. Dre, sold it.
Interesting. We're here to talk about Hi-Fi Rush, but before that, did you know that you can shoot us an email about what you think about Beats headphones? gpopfans@gmail.com, or shoot us a text message or a voicemail, 574-651-9256. Maybe you love Beats headphones, and I'm sorry to hear that, because you're probably deaf.
Oh, wow. All right.
You're probably deaf from all the overbloated bass ringing around in your head. Just moving your brain around. It's 47 hours. Yeah, I just realized on the last episode, I did not go over all the things we normally do. So anyways, Hi-Fi Rush. Let's talk about, here's the details on this surprise drop that just happened. We definitely were not gone. Feel the beat as wannabe rock star Chai and his ragtag team of allies rebel against an evil robotics enhancement megacorp with Raucous Rhythm Combat. Raucous. What is that word? You ever heard that word?
Raucous.
Ruckus? Ruckus?
Ruckus. Yes, Ruckus.
Ruckus? Wow, not Raucous? Wow, I'm an adult. From Tango Gameworks, the studio that brought you The Evil Within and Ghostwire Tokyo, no really, comes Hi-Fi Rush, an all-new action game with the character's world and combat stylish sync to the music. Labeled defective after a shady corporate experiment mistakenly fuses a music player to his heart, Chai must now fight for his freedom in a slick animated world where everything, platforming puzzles, enemy attacks, and even the colorful gags and banter are synced to the beat. This is available on Xbox One and Xbox Series X and... I'm sorry, no. This is only Xbox Series X and S and PC. Let's see here. Features cross-save as well as cross-achievements, so you can start at one point and the other, which I can confirm works because I actually did start this on Xbox but switched to PC for reasons. The main story of 11 hours, main story is an extra 13 hours with a completionist of 47 hours. That's, I'd like to see some details on that.
That seems high.
Yeah, that seems really high, right? Like, really, really high. Let's see. I'm going to look into that while we're talking about it here. So, Hi-Fi Rush. Let's talk about this one.
Where do you start with this one? This has a lot going for it.
I said, so like, dude, in seriousness, we sort of missed the story with this game. And the story with this game was, is we didn't know it existed and then it came out the same day. So like, I don't want to like, what do I want to say? I don't want to belittle the game, but that is half the story with this game, right?
I think so, because I only know about it from you.
Right. And we had a debate on like whether that was a good or not, you know, a good idea or a bad idea kind of thing. So the question is, do we want to talk about that now or do we want to talk about the game first, I guess?
Oh, we could talk about it now because it was coming from, I think the only reason it was even a debate, if you will, is because I wasn't representing what I said and what you heard was two different interpretations of something. So
what I'll say is other people had, you know, your opinion as well, though. So,
oh, okay. Well, okay. So my opinion well, let's go into my opinion of, I don't like the idea that, stealth dropping on a popular service is all you need to do for advertisement now. I completely understand. I'm not a child anymore. I completely understand the cost of marketing and what goes into that. But I feel like there are some games out there that are just so kind of interesting and fun and new that you should put the extra effort in to do the promotion thing. And that's me saying, I personally didn't know this game was coming out or what this game was even about. It could be everywhere on YouTube commercials, or it could be everywhere on forums or something. But as far as I know, I had no idea this game was coming out until it was on my screen. Until you told me about it, and then I looked at it and said, "This looks like Jet Set Radio almost. I might be in."
Yeah, and it was really interesting because Microsoft, you know, and we talked about this on our episode of like, their first party needs some help, right? And that's not a hot take. You know, they had what, Pentiment last year? That's about it, right?
And that's embarrassing.
Yeah, and that is the fact that we still had a positive year with Game Pass says a lot. However, from a marketing and a PR standpoint, that's rough, right? So then this year they had their Developer Direct, which they talked about Forza, Minecraft Legends, Redfall, and something else I can't remember. It wasn't Starfield. What's the game that I'm missing? Point is this was their big thing for the first half of the year, that's going to talk about their games for the first half of the year. Because we all know Starfield got delayed. We now know it's coming out September 9th, I think it is. So there was a lot to prove in this little thing. And then Hi-Fi Rush comes out of nowhere, from Tango Gameworks, and people are like, okay, this looks really cool. And then they're like, no, it's coming out today. And so, but that was the other thing, is we didn't really know what it was. Like, is it a full game? Is it a 2-hour game? Is it an 8-hour game? So my whole thing was, is I was like, I think that because Game Pass has a confirmed 28 million, but I'm going to say it's probably 30 million by now, subscribers, like a game like this, that is Jet Set Radio meets Devil May Cry meets Bayonetta, you know, like, I think that the ability to not have to, I won't say part it out, but to sustain that hype cycle, because they totally could have showed this at like the Game Awards in November, right? But they chose not to. Like,
they should have, though.
See, if this was
like this one, though, like, I hear, like, again, at the end of the day, I don't disagree with you entirely. It's just like this is up there with, spoiler alert, is up there with Ori for me in terms of their first party stuff. Like,
yeah, it's really good.
Like, like, why are you?
It's a really, like, really good game. Yeah,
I mean, and again, like the numbers speak for themselves. It is a success. So
depending who you ask, but that's the fact that like we're looking at it and it's got like 2 to 3 million players, and we're calling that a success, I think is where I stand. Of like, this game was going to be a hard sell no matter what. And I think that comes down to, you can look at the price, you can look at the art style, you can look at the history of of rhythm-based games, and making a game that like a Jet Set Radio that looks like it just doesn't appeal the same way that a Starfield will, or a Halo will, or something like that. And I think that if they would have shown it even at the Game Awards in November, and they even said, hey, it's coming out in February, like, people are like, okay, that's really cool. But the fact that people could play it right then and there, I think is going to bump that number up. And I think it's going to get people to, I think there's a very easy thing that people could have done, which is like, okay, I'll get to it later. But it was that fervor of just like, I can play this right now and everyone else is playing it. Like, you wanted to be part of that moment. And I think that's going to go far, 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 far more further. That's what I'm going to say. That's going to go further for a game like Hi-Fi Rush than it would like a Starfield. And that's...
Yeah, I mean, I don't completely disagree with that at all. I think at the end of the day, is my thing is, why not both, you know? I mean, it just doesn't... it just depends on the game for me. Where my intensity comes from is the fact that this game just so gosh dang good.
Right. So like, and we didn't know that at the time, obviously.
Exactly, right.
But yeah, like, looking back on it, it's very interesting.
But you're right though. Now that I think about it, I'm gonna take a dig at Microsoft here. You're right. They should not have showed this at anywhere else. They should not. Microsoft specifically should not have, because they would have screwed the pooch.
Right.
Like I if they put this on stage, it would have been the most embarrassing display of whatever they would have come up with. Like if this was a Sony exclusive, I feel like, yeah, pimp it out. Absolutely. Like PS, like a PlayStation fan will find it somehow or get into it somehow. But you're seeing a Microsoft fan, like, yeah, like you don't want to push this one too hard, because they will screw it up.
Right. And that's a problem that Microsoft's had, and they've got to fix it. So, but yeah, so let's talk about the game. So Hi-Fi Rush, like, it's a, where do you even start with it? It's a zany, it's over the top, it's Devil May Cry, it's Jet Set Radio, it's everything. it's everything it's you've ever wanted and desired.
Yeah, I mean, just from the art style alone, it just hits. Like, everything is just grooving and moving and pumping, and like nothing is still. When you're playing this game, even when you're standing still, nothing is standing. Your HUD's moving, the world's moving, everything's moving to the beat, and the presentation is just out of this world for me. It has that presentation that you get from when we play these really darling indie games, but it has a gorgeous presentation, but like no gameplay. This is the complete opposite. This is the complete opposite of that, where it has a tremendous amount of just spirit and art and love, and then it's just pumping out, and then it's also backed up by equally great gameplay.
I think that is it's truly surprising to me that it hits on every single point. Like, I look at something like Metal Hellsinger, which is something that came out last year that was a first-person shooter based on rhythm, and it gets the music right, and it kind of gets the shooting right, but it doesn't really get anything else right. You know, like, the world of it, it just kind of looks like hell. It kind of looks like a Doom game, you know? It doesn't... The parts, the gimmicks of it stand out, and they work for the most part. But Hi-Fi Rush isn't a gimmick. Like, the rhythm-based combat is truly part of the game, and it still can be a deep game like a Devil May Cry. Like, that's the part that kind of just... I don't want to say blew my mind, but it was just like... I'm truly surprised that this game is as deep as it is. It's got combos.
Oh no, it blew my mind.
Yeah, like it's got it all. It's got the combos. It's got the upgrades. It's got the assistance. It's got everything that you would want out of a Devil May Cry / Bayonetta style action game, in a new art style, along with this truly like fun to play rhythm mechanic. And it's just like, this is coming from Tango Gameworks as well. Like, it's just, what a weird freaking story that this game turned out to be. And it's not perfect, don't get me wrong, but it's pretty close. Like
I would give this a 10 out of 10. Like, shoot, like this game hits. This game hits like it is ridiculous. And what I love about it too is just how smartly designed this entire game is, because when you look at a game like Metal Hellsinger or any other rhythm-based game that's not just a rhythm-based game, a game that kind of just incorporates rhythm, a lot of the times it's you lose that beat, you lose that rhythm. A lot of the times it's kind of hard to figure it out and stay on track. They figured it out with Hi-Fi Rush, because the beat you need to stay on is the same beat the entire world lives off on. The metal grates, the bounce pads, the walls, the windows, the wind, like everything, every element in this game moves to the rhythm you need to fight on. It's so hard to, it's almost harder to miss the beat than it is not to, because just how they were able to incorporate that rhythm into even your HUD, so your health bar is pumping, you know when to hit that X, when to hit that Y, when to hold on that Y and then follow up with another one. It's pretty genius level game design, I think.
Yeah, no, and it's, for me, the biggest one is Chai himself is, you know, he's tapping his foot, he's snapping his fingers. Like you said, like literally everything in the world is telling you when to be. And it's like, I don't say this to be mean, like, unless you're completely tone deaf, like, it is impossible to not get back on the rhythm. And like you said, it's also really smart in that the magic, I don't say the magic, but the game sort of resets the rhythm whenever you attack. So it always gives you the opportunity to get back on beat, even if you fall off of it. And it doesn't have that awkward moment like with a Rock Band or like a Metal Hellsinger where it's like, okay, I need to stop and reset. You can't stop and reset in an action game like this. You just can't. So whatever witchcraft that they've done to make it so that way it always comes back and resyncs itself up is... The only thing I could think of that was as clever was like Drop Mix. Like Drop Mix had this way of just always, no matter what you did, you felt like you were part of the music. And this does that. And I just, and again, like that could have been the whole game. Like that could have been a 4-hour experience of like, okay, like just go through these levels, play these songs, have a good time. But then they just kept adding on to it. And like, this is a full on, like there's a combo system in here. It's all here. And I don't know how they did it. Like I genuinely don't. And it's, I've played through it a couple times now and I kind of want to play through it again. Like,
no, it really is that good. I mean, from the presentation, like when you're hitting those combos, when you hit it to the beat, the graphical effects they put on those hits are just wild.
Yeah,
they're just wild. It is, and I think of something like a like Need for Speed was trying to do a lot of stuff with the. With the flares and the over the top cell shading stuff, and
yeah, like the smoke was cell shaded, like when you did tire smoke, and yeah,
it's cool, but like a lot of these games, it gets messy after a while. They somehow figured it out in Hi-Fi Rush where it doesn't even get messy. You know exactly where you are, you know what you're doing, you know where the enemy is. In the most intense fights, where the most ridiculous things are happening on the screen, you still know exactly where you are and what's going on. Like it's still, everything still meshes.
And on that point, like it's, not only does it mesh, but it, I want to say it's transformative.
No, magical, transformative. These words, like they're legitimate for this game. I truly feel like this, like it's not, very often you get a game that tries something not just new, but it takes something that you've already seen before and they actually make it work. And when something works like this on just about every level, it is nothing short of magical in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's, I think the fact that the story as well is genuinely good. It's the characters are well made. The over the top could get annoying, but it doesn't. You know, it's the writing is strong, and I think of something like No More Heroes, where No More Heroes tried something like this. Of it wasn't exactly cel shaded, but it really had this style to it of being kind of very hyper. What's the word I wanted to say? Like hyper realized, I guess, of zippers and coats and like junk all around, you know, like it's got a very distinct art and style to it. And it never clicked with me with No More Heroes, but this, like, from the first moment you play the game and you hop into that city, like, it's just, it works. Like it's so realized in a way that just many games aren't. And I truly just, how did they do it? I want to know, like, how did they make all of this mesh together in a way that doesn't come off as hokey or annoying? And I'm sure somebody out there finds it annoying, but you know, it's something like The Messenger. The Messenger is a game that's genuinely funny, and this game has some genuinely cringe funny moments in it. It's got almost a Spider-Man level of humor of where like it's dumb, but you're not mad at it dumb.
No, absolutely. I completely agree with that. I'll piggyback that, because the characters in this they're written in a way where, in lesser hands, in a worser talent, they will come off, just like you said, really just annoying, really grating. This writing, these characters, they're almost one step away from a bad Borderlands game.
Yeah.
Like it is that close, but they nail it though, because when Chai meets Peppermint, their relationship, the way they bounce off each other, it seems legitimate. It seems fun. It seems it didn't come off like every other game right now that's trying to write like a Marvel movie. It seemed way more real, like the way they interacted, the way they approached things, the difference in their personalities. I feel like they put some thought into it, to where, again, like on a bad day, on a bad line, this could easily be forespoken almost. But like, no, like this, they really got the characters down. They got the talking down, like they got the writing down. They got even the voice acting itself is just top notch. I think, I mean, like the first boss, I forgot her name, the big girl, the big woman who you have to fight, like she's,
yeah, I don't remember her name either.
Yeah, I forgot her name, but like that voice actress and the way she interacts with Chai, I feel like, yeah, this is legitimately funny. This is legitimately fun. I completely buy Chai and his attitude.
I said, and that's that No More Heroes energy that I wanted that game to be more, because No More Heroes really wanted every boss to be kind of its own personality. And this is kind of similar in that it wants every boss to do its own thing. But in the end, like, they're all kind of the same, you know. That's not fair to say, but like they're all written in a way to be unique, but they all kind of want the same thing. And so that's what No More Heroes tried to do. And I think this just does it better. But I think part of that is because that game was all about like being a douchebag, basically. And this game, while Chai is kind of over the top, he wants to be a rock star, it doesn't come off as a douchebag. You kind of can't help but like him. And that's where I think it just works, kind of thing. So, however, I'm going to push back a little bit and contradict myself probably. Did you play this on console or PC?
Both. Yeah, I played on both.
Which did you main play on?
Xbox.
So I started on Xbox, and am I crazy? Or
yes. Well, full stop.
There we go. It's story over. The controls are a little hard to get down on console.
Are the buttons different on PC?
So I'm doing full on mouse and keyboard with it.
Oh, no. I use the controller.
So yeah,
speak on it.
Got it. Okay. So maybe it's just my controller. Maybe it's a latency thing. I'm obviously able to run this. So it runs at 60 frames on console. Obviously that's the other thing. PC port, really good, like zero issues. And it could in not high demanding specs at all. I was able to max this thing out pretty easily, and I don't have a super high rig or anything. I've got, you know, better than your average, but I'm not like a 4060 or anything like that. But you know, recommended specs I think are like a 2070 or a Ryzen 1500X or something like that. So like, it, you know, that as long as you have a decent computer, you'll be able to run this. The being able to max this out at 144 frames made a difference for me, and maybe I'm just becoming a snob. Of I just felt like a little bit of latency and stuff was pushing back on me on the console, and it wasn't making me miss my combos or anything because they're very good at it, but I just felt like PC might be the place you want to play this one. Did you get that?
I would say that's in general for any good PC port. Like you're playing on PC if you have the rig for it. Honestly, I mean,
that's not wrong. But I guess in this instance, because it's the whole rhythm based thing, I felt like there needed to be a 120 frames option on console.
I don't think I had, if I had an issue, I didn't notice it. The only time I really kind of, for better or worse, struggled was getting the counter timing down.
That was my next point, was when they introduced the counter about halfway through. I don't dislike it, but
I didn't need it. I don't think
that. I think that's where I'm at with it. I was like, I don't know if I needed that. I think I could have been without it. It doesn't hurt the game, but it definitely doesn't add to it. So that's a tough one. It's like, well, it's not bad, but I don't know if I needed it, which is a weird thing to say. In a weird way,
it didn't take. I think the problem was what you just said. They introduce it halfway into the game, so therefore it's like, here's a new mechanic, and you're excited because of how good this game has been so far. So you're thinking you're going to get this new fighting mechanic. It's going to take your fighting game up a whole notch, and it's like, no, it's just a counter thing. And it's like, you could do it sometimes. I'm like, I don't. Kind of a bummer. I mean, like, that's something you show in the first 15 minutes of the game.
Well, I have to wonder if it's because of the rhythm mechanic, and maybe because certain enemies, it's required to use it, and it's not hard to use. Like the window on, it's pretty forgiving, I guess you could say. So to me, it's almost like the, you know, some people really hate the like use certain weapon to kill certain thing, mm-hmm. or you know, and. It didn't bother me here because it just didn't, I guess. Like it was interwoven in a way, but it to me, it was just like, I don't know if I needed that kind of thing. I don't know if I needed enemies that required it because it's not a bad mechanic, but it just doesn't exactly fit into the rhythm entirely.
Right. Because it's not like the enemy is shooting on rhythm or
right.
something.
You right. Know? The enemy's just kind of there, and you have to watch him. But yeah, although I guess theoretically, like since your combo and your rhythm starts with a hit, that's the thing is like, I don't even, it's the whole rhythm thing is woven so well that I don't even know if I noticed if it was off rhythm. I'm guessing it's not based upon how polished this game is, but maybe it's just, it's in there so well that it doesn't bother me. I guess that's a good thing.
If I want to nitpick, I guess I would like, keep the same rhythm, but change the tune up sometimes.
Yeah.
I feel like it kept the same tune throughout the game, and you can change the tune up a bit, but keep the same rhythm.
And they would, yeah. So every once in a while they would kind of change the song. And also, yeah, it uses licensed songs too, which is another, I only knew a couple of them, but that's always kind of cool when there's a licensed song that, you know, it kind of changes that level, but it's like when you play SSX and that song hits that you really like, all of the songs in this game are really good. And so you want to
bring that back, please. Jesus, man.
It's too expensive. Like, it's too expensive to
like,
do that.
The music is what made Tony Hawk and
right
in all those games so kind of great. I mean, like, besides the gameplay, but the fact that you have these great songs. I mean, like, I know people who don't like sports, don't play sports, hate sports, but they will play the heck out of some NBA Street, I think it was.
Oh, NBA Street. That's a game they need to bring back. I don't give a dang about 2K anything or NBA Live. Bring back Street.
In Blitz. I like my Blitz too.
But, yeah, I play some Blitz.
But yeah, Hi-Fi Rush is... It's probably because I'm getting older and been playing so many games and been and seen so much of the industry nonsense. I definitely find myself getting to a point where I'm like, I don't like any new game. You know, like AAA for sure. But like these just like, I just don't care about these big, huge titles anymore. Or it's very easy for me to get fed up with something where I see where it becomes just stale. However, there is games like Hi-Fi Rush where it's like, okay, this is why I game. This is what I came here for. This is the kind of out there, out of the box. Let's put some actual work love into making something.
And similar to what you said, you and I have had this conversation many times of just how there's a lot of upset fans, rightfully so, that like Xbox lacks AAA stuff right now. That there's no question about it. But when you look at something like Game Pass, Hi-Fi Rush, Pentiment, like those are the games that I'm remembering now. Whereas I look at something like Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, and I'm like, oh great, another open world battle pass game, you know? And that game is probably totally fine. It's probably going to be fun. It's made by Rocksteady, right? Like they know how to make a good game, but it just looks so derivative of everything else that I'm jaded. I'm extremely jaded. And that's why I think Game Pass is resonating with so many hardcore gamers, is because not everything needs to be AAA to be fun. We're going to talk about another game that we really like on this show soon. That's a pixel based, you know, like 2D game. And it's just the new ideas. We need to get back to that time where a AAA game wasn't being so derivative and it actually had new ideas. And that's Hi-Fi Rush isn't AAA, but it's pretty dang close. It almost doesn't need to be AAA. It's exactly what it needs to be. In fact, they only sold this for $30 too, is kind of crazy. Like,
it's crazy, but that's the spot it should be at, though.
But it almost makes it seem like it's not going to be this polished and this much fun.
Exactly. And that's the issue. And that's a whole other discussion, because we as gamers feel like, especially like the younger gamer, the current generation gamer, if it's not a $60 title, is it a real title?
Or if it's free, you know, like if it's not free, like, do I care? Because free means that I can get my loot boxes and all that stuff. And like, that's generally what they like, or it's Minecraft, you know? So it's a weird one, but it's weird in the best way possible. And it's, I think it's going to be potential to be kind of a moment for Microsoft in general, of just like, this is where they sort of shown what Game Pass can be, as well as what their money can do. Like, would Hi-Fi Rush exist without Microsoft having Game Pass and owning Bethesda? That's a question that I don't know if anyone can really answer, but it'd be a fun one to debate. And I would say that I don't know if it would. I don't know if would Bethesda have greenlit this game without Game Pass and Microsoft? I don't.
Yeah, I truly don't know. And if the answer is no, and this is the only reason, and it's the only reason we got it, then in that case, I will beat the drums of Game Pass all day. However, if the answer is the other way, then we just got lucky.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Is it luck or is it truly the Game Pass effect? You know, you've got Tim Schafer out there talking about how one of the reasons that they like being with Microsoft is because they're able to get projects off the ground they couldn't normally before because of Game Pass, because you have a player base no matter what. And we can sit here and debate all day the positives and negatives about the subscription model, whether it's movies, games, whatever. But like we just said, we're in an era where I don't really care what's going on in the AAA space. If this is how I get more AA games that I super enjoy versus Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, like, fine, I'm all for it. You know, I don't. There's always going to be that debate whether it's healthy or not, but I'm still on the side of the fence. Like, if it means more games like this, then bring it on.
So yeah, I mean, again, more games like this for sure. Right. I mean, like, it's still a lot of shovelware on there. I feel like it's harder and harder to just spin the wheel. But
I don't know. Lately, like this, this year so far, like, of course, we had life stuff happen, and so we missed some time. But this year so far, like, they've had some. It's been a very strong year for Game Pass so far, and I'm curious how it's going to hold up. But I mean, like, you had what, Persona, Hi-Fi Rush, Wolong, you know, Atomic Heart, which we'll talk about. Atomic Heart's getting mixed opinions, so you'll hear our opinions on that. What was that other one? Monster Hunter Rise, like, Darkest Dungeon came back. Like,
oh yeah, I saw that pop up. And yeah, yeah. I'm about to jump into that.
So there's, so far, as you know, it's only March, but this year could be the year, like, where they prove that this model is here to stay, kind of thing. We'll see. We'll see. It's early, but we'll see. So, but all right, that's gonna do this episode. Let us know what you think about Hi-Fi Rush. 574-651-9256. Like it, love it. If you don't like it, I don't like you.
Harsh. All right.
It's just how it is. It's how it is.
Is this your I forgot the name of this, of that Souls like with the gun.
Remnant?
Yeah, is this your Remnant from the Ashes?
Again, I like Remnant from the Ashes, whatever your name was. I like that game. There was problems with it, and it was busted online. When Remnant 2 comes out, I will be there.
Okay, but I mean, unless it's on Game Pass, that's, you're by yourself on that one.
So I would be shocked if that isn't on Game Pass at some point. So, but yeah, no, I like that game enough. That might be my favorite Souls-like, genuinely.
Whoa.
Might be my favorite Souls-like. But what? Again, the online was so busted that I couldn't play it properly. So I think that idea of...
We might have a fight on this one. I don't know. That's kind of ridiculous to me.
I like the ideas of that game a lot. Not perfect. Again, I don't think it's the best. It's not the best Souls-like, but personally, it's got the ideas that I like the most. So, but yeah. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time. We're going to be talking about a bunch of games. Atomic Heart, Shadow Warrior 3, Emergent Blade, Soul Hackers 2, Wolong Fallen Dynasty, and JoJo, that game that you played. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, whatever that weeb stuff is. So.
How dare you, sir? Yeah. Accurate, but how dare you?
Yeah, we'll see you next time with one of those games.
Good day, sirs.
Schwab Trading is now powered by Ameritrade to give you a new, elevated trading experience tailor-made for trader minds. Go deeper with thinkorswim, the powerful, award-winning trading platforms now at Schwab. Unlock support from the Trade Desk, our team of passionate traders who live and breathe trading like you do. And sharpen your skills with an expanding library of online education crafted just for traders. All designed to help you trade brilliantly. Learn more at schwab.com/trading.